Welcome to another episode of We the People Radio. Today will be an episode because it's Father's Day.
Dun, 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 dun. Just yucking it up.
And we have two actual fathers in the room.
Sounds like you're going to pick on us.
No more phone problems. No more, oh, we can't get him on Skype. We can hear him, but he can't be connected. We don't have that. None of that. So that being said, my name's Aaron Ryan.
And I'm Bill Cundiff.
Our guest today is
Kenneth Ryan.
Good old Ken Ryan, huh? Guess who he's related to? Bill. So obviously, yeah, right. Obviously Bill's dad. So you can find everything about the program on wethepeopleradio.us. The archive of the program will go up this afternoon, so you'll have a commercial-free version. And coming up on October, you have 10 years of archives to look back on. So I hope you caught the show last week with Dr. Charles Asher Small about anti-Semitism. It was amazing. He did a great job. And for any of you who have dad stories you'd like to share, I don't know if that's a good way to promote it.
Might as well.
That's probably a bad way to say it.
Yeah, give us a call. Give us a funny story.
Everybody's got dad shows. We don't always put out for like, oh, call us, because we don't typically do call. But, yeah, you can call us. That's the phone number. 530-605-4567.
Wow, that's pretty good.
Ashley didn't have any kind of a seizure, so I must have gotten it correct. Yep. I was waiting for the look.
605-4567.
605-4567. So, yep, you're free to call up, and you'll get connected with Ashley, and you can chat with us, because I know this is always bad to hear, but we have no plan for today. There's no plan.
There's a plan.
Plans are stupid.
But you have great music, so you'll be fine.
But we do have great music. I know. Did you see my songs?
Looks great.
The song list is quite good. But, yeah, the plan is... plan's a dud. You know, what are you going to say? But just the fact that we've got two middle-aged... Are you still considered middle-aged?
Middle-aged, at least,
okay,
yeah.
Okay, so full disclosure, I'm 57. Bill's...
45.
Bill's 62.
55. 63. 63.
Yeah, I already said I'm 57. You're definitely older than I am. And...
wonderful.
Dad's waxed over 80. Not that far, though. And so just to kind of give you an idea of, you know, what time period we're talking about, what sort of generation we're in, because obviously, like, okay, let's see, everyone here drank out of a hose when they were kids.
Correct.
Yeah, we all rode without seatbelts.
Right.
As we made that so painfully clear. We unfortunately told some stories earlier today, and that always wrecks everything, you know, sort of.
Well, some of them were not suitable for airing, but yeah, we
yeah, that's true. There, yeah, some we couldn't share, but yeah, they did involve some seatbelts and lack thereof. So
the rear of trucks, etc.
Oh yeah. Bill spent some time getting hauled around in the back of a truck with his brothers.
Yeah,
sister got to ride inside.
That was standard mode of transportation back in the day. All right, kids, get in a truck. You jumped in the back like a dog, and he took off. Hope it didn't roll over.
Rain in the rain.
Oh yeah, if it rained. You just pulled a blanket over your head and ran for cover when the truck stopped.
Could you imagine if you told kids today, get in the back of the truck, pull a blanket over your head, we're driving to Mexico, kids? Did you guys drive all the way to Mexico like that?
No, I think the furthest trip we ever took in the back of the truck was Washington State.
It was quite a way.
It was several stops in between. You know, we'd hit the campgrounds and all the points of interest, and then we'd jump back in the truck, pack it. We had a little, like, right next to the back of the cab, we set up like a bed, and we just had a cushion and blankets and pillows. And we'd, if you hit something, you want to have a little cushion there. So we had pillows, which are standard safety issue then. And,
sure.
Yeah.
Then who needs seatbelts when you've got pillows?
No, you got pillows. Yeah.
It was like something, early, what do you call it, airbags.
Yeah, if something was going to happen, it's grab the pillows, kids.
And ours, okay, so when do you remember when we wore seatbelts?
Oh, yeah.
Here's the quiz question. When did we wear seatbelts? How about that? There were limited occasions that we wore seatbelts, very limited.
Yeah, but you're in the back of the truck.
No, in the van.
Yeah.
But when did we wear the seatbelts?
I can't remember when.
It was dark. It had to be dark. There were a set of conditions that all had to fall into place. It had to be dark, and it had to be raining.
Oh, then
it was dark and raining. You wore the seatbelts.
That was all the time.
No dark,
yeah.
No rain.
Yep.
Obviously, there were not going to be any accidents, right. And there was going to be no need for that.
Nope. Just hang your head out and enjoy the ride.
Yeah. So we
the early years, you didn't wear any seatbelts. Trust me.
Were there even any?
There weren't even.
Oh, we had cars that didn't even have.
I was going to say I don't think we had any, but I remember in the van we did. But it was a big deal if it was dark and it was raining. You had to wear the seatbelt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Nothing ever happened. But
I think we had some cars where they were purposely tucked in behind the seat because they got in the way.
And, yeah. and we should point out Bill's father was a highway patrolman.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. It's true.
Obviously, back in the day, mm-hmm. when you were a highway patrolman, it wasn't...
No, it was much different back in the day than it
is
today.
Much different.
Much different, yeah. You did more than just traffic stops and traffic control and, you know.
Like what? What are some of the things your dad did? And if you don't say it, I will, so you might as well just confess right now.
Well, the one story that comes to mind is in his early days as a patrol officer, he was patrolling out of Los Angeles and up in the hills. And, you know, it was a little bit less domesticated back then. And him and his partner were driving around and a bobcat ran across the road. And his partner says, "Kind of, you ought to shoot that bobcat, make a great skin rug." And he goes, "Better not." And he goes, "You probably couldn't hit it anyway." Well, that's all he had to hear. So they pulled over and one guy grabbed the flashlight, he pulled out his service revolver, and they looked over the edge, and there that bobcat was standing there looking at him. That was a bad mistake because he was a crack shot. He dropped that bobcat. So they went down the hill, grabbed it, threw it in the trunk. Well, about that time, they got a call on a traffic accident down a freeway. So they jammed down to get to the site, and back then they let civilians help direct traffic. If you pulled over, they'd let you, you know, put flares out.
While they were doing their work.
While they were doing their work, you know, that you could help. Well, a guy runs up to him and says, "Officer, is there anything I can do to help?" He goes, "Yeah." He tosses him the keys and says, "Go over to my car, grab some flares out of the trunk and start laying a flare line." Right on. So he goes back and he opens the trunk. Well, this bobcat wasn't dead. And he opened the trunk, and here's this wild bobcat with its claws up snarling at the guy. Scared the heck out of me, he slams the trunk down, runs back to my dad and says, Officer, there's a wild beast in your trunk. And, of course, my dad all of a sudden realized, uh-oh. So he says, "Go see Officer Jones over there, get in his trunk, and we'll take care of that later." And it just blew the whole thing off. Well, shortly after that, he had to leave the scene and get that thing out of his trunk, which it passed away at that point. Yeah. But, yeah, that was a bad deal.
The old dead bobcat in the trunk.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah. So I don't know if they do those sorts of things on the patrol today, but they did back then. It was a little bit
That's
Wild
funny.
West.
I guess we both have wild animal stories. Do we have time? Oh, yeah, we have time for your wild animal story because I posted the picture.
Of
the tiger.
The tiger, the famous
take
tiger.
Bill, take Bill's mountain lion and we'll raise you a tiger.
Yeah, you're going to trump me with a tiger story.
Well, this is the story about can you do it? Eye of the Tiger was out with... Of course.
Sylvester Stallone, Rocky.
Correct,
yeah.
Correct. And I was supposed to make a national presentation down in San Diego. And I decided that I'd make an Eye of the Tiger speech. And I said, Wendy said, "Why don't you have a tiger help you?" And I said, "How are you going to do that?" He said, "We can rent one out here in Burbank."
Rent a tiger.
I
said, "Rent a tiger?" He said, "Oh, yeah, no problem." So I went to my boss, the chairman, and said, "Do you think I can rent this tiger to kind of appear with me?" He said, "Yeah." Well, several of the other officers of the corporation heard about it and said, "Absolutely not. This is terrible. You know, it could eat up the audience, you know, et cetera."
And these are insurance guys.
Yeah.
So somewhat risk adverse, right?
Trust me. So all of a sudden they said, "Here's what we'll do. If you go in the cage with the cat and be photographed that it doesn't eat you up, you can take it to San Diego to the speech." So guess where I went?
You went down
Burbank, California, into the cage with the animal actress, and she didn't eat me up. So down to San Diego we went.
So hence the picture, and that picture's on the site if you want to see that.
And Colleen was there. One of the daughters was at the audience.
My sister Colleen. So when you walked in with the tiger, though, right?
No. I was in halfway through the speech. I raised my right arm, and the warehouse door, the doors to bring objects up from the showroom into the auditorium opened, and out walked the cat with her handler, not on a leash, just walking alongside.
Oh, wow.
The audience said, "It's a cat. It's a tiger." The one guy said, "It's a cat." The other guy said, "Bullshit, it's a tiger." The audience went absolutely ape.
We don't get to say the S word.
Yeah, I know.
We get to say crap, though. We checked that out.
Trust me, they all did that.
Yeah.
And so the tiger comes across the platform, jumps up on the platform with me, and I get to pet the cat. But you couldn't pet her on the rear. You had to pet her on the front shoulders.
The scary part. Yeah,
that's right.
The scary part.
That's right.
Not the safe part.
Petting it on the rear put it into attack mode.
Anyway, that was quite a speech. And it went off well.
Nice.
Yeah, it's quite a picture. I was going to ask you about that.
So insurance isn't always boring.
No.
Yeah.
All right. We've got to take a little quick break. And in honor of that story, Ash has got a little tune for us. You can find us at wethepeopleradio.us.
Little vacation there.
You don't see all the movement in here.
It's like, you know, maybe I'll never forget it when I first saw that movie, except for the dead ant on the top of the station wagon, except for that part. And the pot smoking. We didn't do that either. But the rest of it, totally true. Totally true.
A couple of misdirections once in a while. But
it was the shorts at the rodeo.
Right.
You were totally Chevy Chase.
I know.
They had literally spied on our family, and somebody capitalized on that, made an entire movie about it.
So what about the shorts at the rodeo?
Oh, yeah. Was that the first rodeo I ever went
to? We were Gillette.
Because we didn't.
Gillette, Wyoming.
Gillette, Wyoming.
That were shorts.
They were
yellow.
Rodeo.
I remember them being yellow. Was I just damaged?
They were yellow.
They were yellow.
They were not yellow.
He was wearing sandals with socks, though.
Were they dark socks,
yes.
though?
Oh, yes.
They were dark socks.
Dark socks. But that's cool again now. If you're under 30 now, you think he's cool. But no, this was not cool back then. Not cool.
We walked in the stadium. The whole stadium stopped. Even the Bronco horse stopped to watch
Everybody
me
stared.
Walk.
It was like, oh, this isn't good.
Yeah.
I was a kid. And, we thought we were all cool.
And again, that goes back to vacation when Chevy Chase goes to the bar and says, come on, Rusty, I'll show you how to drink.
I know.
Sean wanted to crawl back in the truck.
Well, we didn't know, you know.
Yeah.
We didn't know, but I guess we thought you knew. Yeah. Like, hey, wait a minute, there's some cracks in the armor. This guy doesn't actually know what he's doing. He was way out of his depth. But, you know, I did not figure this out. There were many things I didn't figure out, obviously, like most kids. But I think I was like late 20s, and people, you know, I'd tell them about these road trips we did, and just to give people some perspective, we had 5 kids in 7 years. So it was a pile of kids that were all roughly the same age. And we were little, and so we're crammed in this.
It was a big van.
Yeah, it was like a Ford Club van.
Right.
It wasn't the kind, if you have a group home, though, you have a bigger vans now. Yeah. Not a group home van.
In other words, it wasn't seating for everybody, but almost.
Not really.
Yeah, there was.
Then we had 7 big sleeping bags. We had a giant canvas tent. We had
ground cover.
Spikes, we had all
hammers.
The food. Everybody had anybody who's ever watched that old movie, What's Up, Doc, with Barbara Streisand and Ryan O'Neal. We had the plaid bags. We had the exact same bags. They're kind of like glorified golf or bowling bags.
Right.
Kind of shaped like bowling bags. So everybody had their little bowling bag with their clothes in it for like the 2 weeks or whatever. And so we're packed in there like cordwood. And these other guys would pull into these campgrounds, and they had like these campers, you know, even the kind that popped up, you know, and stuff like that. We were like, hey, how come we can't have one of those? That'd be kind of neat. You know, maybe we could put some of the stuff like on the top, like on a rack. We could use a rack. And what was the answer? You remember the answer?
Uh-uh.
Yeah, the answer was, I don't want to look like a tourist. I don't want to look like a tourist. And so when we were kids, it was like, yeah, okay. I mean, I could kind of get that, right?
Yeah,
you don't want to look like...
Well, for the eye.
I'm almost 30 years old, and I'm realizing we had Connecticut plates on the car.
Yeah, in Wyoming.
Like, that was sort of a giveaway.
wait, for the audience's purpose.
He's going to defend himself. It is Father's Day. Go ahead.
You got to remember this, that everybody in the car had an assignment. Molly had the ground cover. Someone had the spikes. Someone had the corners. And then when they said lift, they lifted. In order to do it properly, when we left Connecticut, we practiced for three nights in the front yard.
Wow, this is like regimen.
We were at a campground in the island in Iowa, some island campground. We pull in, the kids go through their routine, the tent comes up, and I said the rule was, when I have a beer in my hand, you can go play.
Like if they had some kind of a pool, which
right, you could
they
go
never did.
Jump around. Anyway.
In our dreams, they did.
So this guy is at one of those fancy, real fancy rigs parked next to us in the next slot. He gets up out of his chair, walks over, an elderly guy. He says, I see you got a beer. And he said, you want a scotch? And I said, well, yeah, but I don't have any. He said, well, I want you to come over. He said, I'm a retired 2-star general from the United States Army. He said, I have never in my life seen a uniform drill performed like this but in the campground. And he says, I salute you, young man.
The only thing you didn't have was a whistle. All right.
I was a little kid, and I still remember it was like, this is like my dad's proudest moment.
It was. It really was.
I mean, it was like, dun, dun, dun.
That's my troop right
that
there.
That was a great day. He's like, yep, those are my kids.
We were in Tennessee, and then we drove in with the blue license plate. That wasn't too good a sign.
Oh, no.
The blue Connecticut license plate.
You didn't look like a tourist.
No, we didn't.
Oh, my God. Yeah, we had a lot of those. Remember
the snakes in Montana, we had to zip up the tent and sleep all night. And we realized that we camped in the slot they gave us. But we failed to realize where it was. At about 2 o'clock in the morning, the ground starts to shake. And lo and behold, it lights up. There's a light flashing across. There's a Great Northern train headed for Seattle. We're on the right-of-way of the railroad, Great Northern Railroad, right next to us.
Oh, yeah.
It's on the berm right next to us. And this freight train, we knew we couldn't run out of the tent. We didn't know where the train was. We'd rode right into the tracks. So, anyway, it was quite a night.
Yeah, we had the zipper so that the snakes didn't come in.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was all that. Underwear was the tool for everything. So, you know, you had seven people in a tent. What do you have the most of? Underwear.
Yeah, but the funny thing is, the reason we knew about the snakes is the kids walked by our place holding two big rattlers in their hands saying, be cautious.
Yeah.
You know, they were joking with, they were locals.
Yeah.
That's like the place we went to in Mexico. We were down there on one of our various trips, and my dad pulls into this campground, beautiful place, right on the bay. I mean, it was really nice, and we're thinking, man, we're going to go fishing and swimming in the ocean. And so we pull in, and the guy takes
best
his money.
Plans.
Yeah, the guy takes his money and says, now, it's pretty good fishing out there. He goes, good swimming, but don't swim after dark. Well, what's after dark? They said, oh, well, the sharks come in and eat anything that's in the water. So, okay, well, we're going to probably go somewhere else. Yeah, that's how that bay got cleaned out, is the sharks came in every night and cleaned everything out.
So it was super clean.
Oh, it was clean.
Not a bunch of other little kids swimming around.
No night swimming there.
That was an eye-opener.
Snacked up.
I mean, here a kid from the country, I've never seen a shark, and it's like, I know they bite. I'm not getting in the water. Even during the day, I'm not getting in the water.
I get to tell one on Aaron because one night we're in New Mexico, camped above Albuquerque on the hillside.
My favorite story.
And as we pull into the campgrounds, we hadn't eaten much that day. So we said, well, go back to the country store and get some hamburgers, et cetera. So they were out of
they had pizza.
They were out of hamburgers. All we got was pizza.
We had died and gone to heaven. They had one pizza.
Big pizza left.
Oh, yeah.
So we come out, and we're now sunset. It's now sunset. The golden, beautiful sky is now setting behind Albuquerque as we overlook the beautiful city.
Uh-huh.
And then one of the campers next door walks over, and Aaron says, he's a vampire.
No, he was a werewolf.
Oh, werewolf. That's
do you remember his name?
Yeah, no.
Jerry.
Jerry the werewolf.
Jerry the werewolf.
We invite Jerry to our dinner table with our limited pizza.
Yeah, what's up with that?
Come on over,
Jerry. We're all
you got one pizza, five kids.
No, Jerry. Get out, Jerry.
You don't have enough. Pizza.
But the point is, if the sun goes down, the hair on his arm starts to grow. Aaron's story was a werewolf.
He was the hairiest man I ever saw in my entire life.
She stayed awake all night making sure that we were safe from Jerry the werewolf.
But don't you remember when I took, I was taking Sean and Colleen maybe with me, and we went over to get the pizza, and the whole way over, I'm like, did you guys see the hair on his arms? I swear that guy's a werewolf. And so by the time we got back to the thing, we were all convinced he was a werewolf, right? And what's he start talking about? I love to be out at night.
Oh.
I love to go talk to the young people that are out at night. And we were like, what?
These eyeballs were about...
Every single thing he said was like, yep. Werewolves do that.
He's a werewolf.
No, he was totally a werewolf. I can't even hear the name Jerry without...
getting crawlies.
Or Albuquerque. I hear Albuquerque. I'm like, oh, don't go there.
Oh,
nothing good happens in Albuquerque. It's where Jerry the werewolf lives.
Werewolves.
I wonder if Jerry knows what an indelible mark he left on our family.
He left a mark on you, I could tell you.
Yeah, because he had hair. He was the hairiest guy I'd ever seen in my entire life.
And he came in with the sun behind him. The sun set
behind
him.
And he was a weirdo. Wait, he was a weirdo.
Come on.
All day.
He was a nice camper
all
next door.
Day.
Yeah, he ate too much pizza, though.
He was a taxidermist.
One pizza.
She'll never forgive him on the pizza count.
It was a small pizza. There were seven of us, and he was going to eat. He was like, oh, I think I'll have another piece. And then, of course, what do you say about that, right? Were you raised by wolves? Yeah.
Yeah, he was.
As a matter of fact... Oh, man. Jerry the werewolf.
That was a trip, I'm telling you. Kevin bought the Longhorns in Texas and then forgot they were there and sat on them. And he's back there screaming, I'm sitting on my Longhorns.
There's a lot that went on in that van. There's a lot. A lot of things happened in there. It was not good.
Yeah.
Oh, I have a lovely song getting ready to be queued up for you. We shouldn't walk away from Jerry too quickly. But there are people like that, you know, on these little travel things that show up. That guy, man, I'll never forget that.
Oh, yeah, I can't tell you how many times we've been camping and
sitting
people would come walking
and...
by, and it's like, ooh, that guy looks scary.
Yeah.
You know?
What's up with that?
Yeah, I think he lives here.
But we never got, like, store food. That was a big deal. Jerry ruined it.
Yeah. Biggest deal we ever had when we were on a camping trip, we got rained out. Everything was soaking wet, so we had to go to the... laundromat and put everything in the dryers, and we got to go to the movies while it was drying.
Oh, I'll tell you what we did on our trip that got rained out. When we come back, we have to take a quick little break. My dad's going to take his medication. When we come back, we'll tell you what happened in the trip that got rained out in Nova Scotia. It's bad to have your oldest kid remember this stuff. We'll be right back. You're listening to We the People.
Hey there, Little Red Riding Hood. You sure are looking good. You're everything a big bad wolf could want.
Listen to me,
Little Red Riding Hood. I don't think.
The nest shot of bedtime later that night. Turning on my son Scooby-Doo nightlight. He crawled out of bed and he got down on his knees. He closed his little eyes, folded his little hands, spoke to God like he was talking to a friend. And I said, son, now where'd you learn to pray like that? He said, I've been watching you, Dad, ain't that cool? I'm your buckaroo, I wanna be like you and eat all my food and grow as tall as you are.
It's totally true.
It is true.
Actually, it's kind of interesting. The stanza I didn't choose involved the S word.
Oh, really?
Yes.
Whoa.
And I should have used that one because, you know, as we started the show.
Yeah, we had
a little slippage there. Yeah, kind of funny. But you do watch your parents. Okay. I mean, that's how you learn everything.
Big deal.
That's where you pick up the work ethic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, exactly.
And everything can be done. There's no such a thing as impossible.
Right. Yeah. You learn all that stuff.
You just solve the problem.
Yeah. I think of all the things my dad taught us as kids. I mean, every time we moved, he had this thing. We moved a lot. I think I counted 16 different homes we lived in while he was on the force. We moved a lot.
And they had four kids.
Yeah.
And one of the things he loved was having property with a three-rail fence. Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, a three-rail fence requires a lot of fence posts.
And a lot of painting.
Yeah.
Well, it was just split rail?
Well, it wasn't split rail. It was like big 6x6 or railroad
okay,
ties.
Okay, you weren't at Tom Sawyer painting the fence, though.
Well, we did that, too.
That was way later.
Yeah, that was after, after we dug built the holes. Fence. But it was like digging the holes, tamping them down, getting the posts in, pounding on the boards. So, yeah, you learned work, and you learned how to build fence. You know,
you learned you had to finish.
You had to finish. Yeah, mm-hmm. He had a rule as kids. When you got up in this is during the summertime, when you got up in the morning before you did anything, if you wanted to go fishing or do whatever you wanted to do, you could do it. But he wanted 3 posts put in every day. Mm-hmm. Well, geez, in the course of a week, you had a pretty good stretch of fence ready to go up, you know. But, yeah, he taught us work ethic. You didn't even question it either. It's like in the morning, it's like, what are we going to do after we put the posts in?
Yeah.
And then we went out and did it.
Well, the story of Huck Finn and Tom Sawyer is a real story because as a young kid growing up, there was Carrie and myself. And one of the obligations we had is to weed the garden.
Oh, I hated that.
And weeding meant that you didn't step on the plants that were producing. You had to be careful. So we had, like Tom Sawyer, got all our football buddies, all our neighbor kids to come over. And, of course, they trampled.
I was going
to
say, how'd that work out?
Well,
that
they trampled. Like they didn't know the ethic. They didn't know the weeding
they got the
weeding
out,
with
but
some
they
precision.
Stomped on everything.
We caught hell that night because all our plants were trampled.
It's like, funny, but the weeds are all pulled.
My folks always had a garden. My dad loved gardening, and we had to go out and pull weeds. And that was the one thing I just hated. And I told myself, when I grow up, I'm never having a vegetable garden. And you know what? As soon as I was on my own and had my own place, it's like, I'm going to put in a vegetable garden.
The roads were wider.
Oh, yeah. Now it's like, what's a few weeds, you know? Yeah.
It's like a sickness you get infected with. You get used to it.
Oh.
Yeah. Because you want to, you know, I mean, you always want to do for your kids what your parents did for you. It's usually to your kids, but it's kind of funny.
And dad's always taught us to take a chance. There was always something that, you know, if you had that urge to do, do it. You know, kind of calculate whether it's right or wrong, but do it, you know.
Well, you know what? I'll tell you about taking a chance. We had horses growing up, and we had this one horse. His name was Bally, and he was a great big horse. And we used to go out in the field and, you know, lead him over to the fence, climb up on the fence and jump on his back without a saddle or bridle or anything and just ride him around the field with, you know, he was a good horse. He would let you do it. Well, my brother was out doing a little trick ride and riding backwards and getting on his knees. And my dad was out moving sprinkler pipe in that same field. And he tells Kurt, he says, well, see if you can ride him standing up. And I'm standing there. It's like, I think back on it, it's like he could have broke his neck, you know?
Easy.
So, you know, being the daredevil he is, he gets all situated and he gets on his back and he starts trotting along and he gets up and he's standing up on the back of this horse as he's riding around.
Bareback. Yep.
So what's my dad do? He spins the rain bird around, squirts the horse on the butt.
Oh.
That was the end of the ride. He did go down.
Yeah,
it was kind of a cold shot, but he thought it was funny as heck. Yeah.
And there's also the quiet moment.
Good old dad.
My dad was a quiet man. And one day in the Bay of Olympia, they had log rafts. And, of course, the loggers would walk on the rafts, but they had cleats on the bottom of their boots so they didn't slide in between. We had tennis shoes or regular shoes. So we're bouncing around on these rafts, and the bridge that connected the downtown to our side of the city, my dad stopped the car, walked over to the rail, and we're out there in this log raft. If we'd fallen between the logs, dead. They close and you're gone.
Yeah, you're dead.
He said, very quiet voice, get home. I could hear that voice, that quiet voice. It was like a boom from God. I thought God talked to me. And it was like all the way across the raft, and we got our butts home. Trust me.
Uh-huh.
You know. And then we learned how stupid we really were.
Well, yeah, but that was like the rite of passage, you know. When you weren't supposed to do something, nobody was looking. That must be fun. They don't want us to do it.
They don't want us to do it.
Well, so we had gullies near our house, and there were alder trees. Alder trees are relatively small and easy to
cut. And Uncle Carrie was the younger brother.
So we would climb the tree, and then the other brother and neighbor kids would cut the tree down, and he'd have to ride it down.
No.
But we would cut the tree so it rode to the hillside on the upside.
Yeah.
We cut Carrie's tree so it fell to the deep gully.
Yikes.
So Carrie had this, down at into the gulf. Wonders we didn't kill him. I mean, he's still alive today, but I think it's over the
stupid. That's why he became a Marine.
Yeah, that's right.
That's why he did so well in the Marines.
No, it was Air Force, Honor Guard.
Oh, it was Air Force. Okay. Yeah. It's like, oh, this will be easy.
But you could hear his voice today.
Training camp. It's going to be really hard. He's like, no, not going to be that hard.
We had a place down along the Sacramento River at one point in time, and we had a horse, and so myself and some of our neighbor buddies, we were going to go on a horseback ride. Well, one of the rules was, now we were, I'm going to say, seventh grade, and we were just little kids, stay out of the river. Because that river's swift and it's dangerous. Yeah. Well, we get down on this trail and we're down along the river where there was an island out. Oh, it was maybe 50 yards offshore. And, of course, I convinced everybody, let's swim the horses across to the island. We'll have our own island over there. And then one kid was kind of afraid. He's like, I don't think we should go in the river. Like, it'll be fine. Just do like they do in the movies. You just slide off the saddle, hang on the saddle horn, and when you get across, just swing your leg back over, and you're there. So we did. Long story short, he lost his horse. He lost his shoes. I mean, it was pretty
lost
swift.
The horse?
Well, yeah, he fell off.
Oh,
tried to slide off and lost his grip, and now he's floating down the river. And the current was so swift, it peeled his shoes off. Well, so I get across. I catch his horse. I come back. He's got no shoes. He's like, what am I going to tell my mom? I don't have any shoes. Tell him you took them off and you lost them. another lesson learned. You know, there was a reason they told us to stay out of the river. Yeah, it was funny.
Oh. Ashley has a fun song for you for that.
Across the river.
We play that song a lot in our immigration shows, but you know what? It's got yet another view.
Another meaning right there. Oh, as kids, it was always kind of a challenge to go off on your own and do the things that you thought were a good idea, you know?
Because we were smarter than our parents.
Yeah, ignore the good advice.
Because
you're on your own.
It's never good advice until way later.
I was in seventh grade. I was
way
smart
later.
Enough.
Yeah.
But, you know, then you understand. It's like, oh, yeah, they actually did know what they were talking about. But you also kind of learn how to deal with crisis. I was thinking about the rainstorm. You thought you were going to get out of that, but you're not. And we went to Nova Scotia, and it rained for, I don't know, 2 weeks?
Well, it's a hurricane. We were in the edge of a hurricane.
Oh, it was a hurricane. Oh, that's why it rained for 2 weeks. I just remember it just never stopped raining.
We left from Maine. We crossed from Maine into the
great camping weather.
It's kind of funny. I'm 57 years old. I just found out it was a hurricane.
It'll be all right, kids.
Everybody should do a show with their dad.
We looked at camp that evening. It was still raining. Everybody in the tent. All of a sudden, the tent began to shudder and shake.
I remember that part.
Blew it down.
It did.
Oh, it blew it down, flat down. So we all got in the truck or back into the van and headed back home towards home. And, of course, the story ends with me walking into Sears and
But it was
Roebuck.
Soaking, and we had to camp a couple other places. We didn't go straight home.
No.
We did not go straight home because I do remember we were like, Dad, can't we just go home? Can't we just go home? And he had the lips that don't move, you know, when dads do the talking with the lips are just super,
super tight. Sit down and
be
quiet.
He said, we are going to have fun. We are on vacation. We are going to have so much fun. You're going to have plastic surgery to remove the smiles from your faces. And I'm not kidding you. When I heard that line in that vacation movie, I'm like,
hey, wait a minute.
Wow, this surveillance thing isn't new at all. They were following us even way back then. But we were not going home because, you know what? We weren't weaklings. He turned around and the classic line, don't be a bunch of weak sisters. It's just water.
Just a little wet.
Don't be weak sisters. Yeah. But when we got back to town, the tent had leaked. And it was a big canvas tent. It
really was.
It kind of weighed 9,000 pounds when it was wet. But good times.
It was a Sears and Roebuck product.
But I still have this vision of Ken walking through the Sears store, dragging a soaking wet tent.
Eight-man canvas tent. Unfurled.
Yep.
It left like a river through Sears.
We hosed it down just to make sure it was wet before we left. We got in the truck. It's soaking wet. We walk through there. The people, of course, in the parking lot see me dragging this green thing through the parking lot. Like, what the hell's wrong with that
All
guy?
These kids in a giant wet tent.
So I go through the door, and, of course, where's the sporting goods? Down in the basement. So it means you got to go. You're in the
all
upper level, all the way down the escalator, over to the
dragging
sports store.
A wet tent.
There's a trail of water behind us. Anyway, they gave me a new tent.
They didn't want to give you a new tent before, but you helped them. You helped them see it.
I just see them.
See, that was
it was a visual.
It was a little consumer lesson that we got.
Yeah.
It leaked.
Yeah.
It leaked. It had
hurricane.
It was bad.
Yeah. It was only a hurricane. What's this tent's problem?
I know, because it's break time.
Oh.
You know, capitalism is really
gets in the way sometimes.
It's awesome, but I'll tell you what, it gets in our road every 15 minutes.
I know it.
So it's kind of a problem.
All right, so we'll pay the bills.
But all righty, we'll celebrate capitalism for 2 minutes. You are listening to We the People. It is Father's Day, which is why we're telling all the dad stories that we can think of. And, there's so many more. Be right back.
Wagon with a tent, a Coleman, and sleeping bags. Some fishing poles, a cooler of Cokes. 3 days before we had to be back. When you're seven, you're in seventh heaven. When you're going camping in the wild outdoors. As we turned off on that old dirt road, he looked at me and swore, Dad, this could be the best day of my life. I've been dreaming day and night about the fun we'll have. Just me and you, doing what I've always wanted to. I'm the luckiest boy alive. This is the best day of my life.
Supersonic man out of you. Stop me now.
I'm having such a good time. I'm having a ball.
Don't stop me now.
If you want to have a good time, just give me a call.
Don't stop me now.
I'm having a good time.
Don't stop me
now. Yes, I'm having a good time. I don't want to stop at all.
That could be your theme song, too.
Uh-huh.
That's been our Donald Trump's theme song.
Oh, really?
Yeah, that's what we've been using it for.
Perfect.
Because it just seems to be situationally appropriate.
You know,
so
that...
apparently we have Roberta as a hostage on hold. I didn't realize she was a hostage on hold. So maybe you don't count as a hostage if I didn't actually know we had you on hold.
Well, I'll tell you, if Bill's stories weren't so good, I might have minded. But I tell you, Bill, you're great. I thought maybe I could compete with you in some of them, but I don't think I can after hearing the last few. Anyway, I grew up on Freebridge Street, which is at the end of Park Marina Drive, between the river and the ACID Canal, which was always full and very cold, but we swam in it anyway at our parents' horror. But anyway, old Freebridge was still there, we used to catch pigeons way up high. It was one of those that had the high girders and everything. And so we'd climb up those and catch pigeons. But then after they put the Cypress Street Bridge in, then we walked the I-beams under the bridge across the river and back again.
Oh, boy.
Oh, my gosh. Yeah. If my kids did that, I would absolutely
Isn't that funny, too? Because you think of the things you did when you were a kid, and it's like, I'm surprised we're alive.
I know. And but I wanted to caution people about that river. They don't realize.
Oh, yeah.
Not only is it so cold that you can't survive too long in it, and it's rapid, too, but... all the brush along the shoreline pulls out. If you try to get yourself out of the river, it's hard to find a place that you can get out.
Sure, sure. No, that Sacramento River is nothing to mess with unless you're a seventh grader on a horse, and then you can conquer anything.
Right.
And then, of course, it'll be just like the movies.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Exactly.
That's John Wayne, that thing, right to death.
Oh, yeah.
Not a problem.
Well, we camped out, took the boys on a canoe trip on the Delta.
God, is this the one Kevin still has bad dreams about?
He does bad dreams about
that. Covered with slugs.
Thanks, Roberta, for the story.
Roberta, you're the best. And, you know, okay, I'm cutting off the slug story for a second because, Roberta, there's one that kind of reminds me of the one you just said. We had a guy we knew. He was a pretty old guy. 20 years ago, so I don't know what year this was, but they lived in Kansas City, and they lived by the rail yard, and he and his buddies used to take pieces of plywood, like flexible plywood, thin plywood, and they used to sit on it at the top of the hill, and they'd slide down the hill while the trains were going through the switchyard, and they'd go between the wheels. They'd, like, shoot kidding. Between the wheels.
Whoa.
On these pieces of plywood.
Word.
Yeah,
oh.
that's the story you want to hear about your kid.
Later.
Yeah.
You know, guess what we did when we were kids, Mom?
One little thing I want to mention, and that is my grandson is going to the Youth America Foundation seminar this week. It's a three-day seminar for high school seniors in his leadership training. And I'm just so proud of him. For taking that challenge on, and they can't wait for him to get back and hear what he heard.
Yeah, boy,
that's exciting.
Good for him.
Well, thanks,
then
Roberta.
Then he can grow up and be somebody's dad and give him stories they can tell later.
Yeah.
That's right. And happy Father's Day to everybody.
Thank you.
Thanks a million. Have a good day.
You know, that last song we went out on reminded me when I was, I think, graduating seventh, going to be an eighth grader. My grandfather told me, he says, we're going to go on a fishing trip, just you and me. Mm. And so he had a place up around La Porte, and they had a cabin up there. And so just him and I went up, and for a week, all we did was guy stuff. We fished. He taught me how to cut willow branches and fish the little streams for brook trout. And then we'd come back and cook them. And his big story of that trip was we camped in the cabin for a week and ate trout and fried potatoes for a week. It was heaven to him.
Yeah.
That was but I'll never forget that. He taught me a lot just in that 1 week on how to do different stuff, you know, and it was a great experience.
See, there's stuff like that.
Yeah.
And it doesn't have to be anything fancy. You know, a lot of times people plan these big trips and all that, but those aren't the ones you remember. Mm-hmm. You know, you remember the ones with the soaking wet tent at the end, dragging through Sears.
Yeah.
And Jerry the Werewolf and a crappy pizza from the campground.
That same year we were at the Boar, people don't know maybe, where the ocean comes in and the river conflicts with it and it creates a wave.
Oh.
And the wave runs up. Goes backwards in the river. It's
right.
Called the Boar. And so people gather to watch this Boar occur.
It's like a tidal wave coming
in. It's like a tidal wave in reverse going upstream rather than going out to the ocean. And so we were waiting. We got there early. We were reading stories.
Yeah, because we were all sitting there looking at a bunch of sand going, God, this is super fun.
So I'm reading a story, some kind of a story. I said, pretty soon we've got all these mothers and fathers and kids around us. We got 25 or 30 people listening. And somebody said, the Boar's coming. And so I stopped, closed the book, and they said, no, you got to finish the story.
No, we can catch the Boar later.
We'll catch the Boar next time. I do remember that, though. You could hear it like the far away, like the water coming.
Yeah.
That was impressive.
Well, those rocks kind of rumbling a whole bit. Yeah,
we did a lot of – did you guys – when you went on your campouts, Bill, did your family tell stories? Did you do the
story? Yeah, we did the campfire thing. Yeah, we'd sit around and tell stories.
No, I mean, like, we
didn't read stories. My dad had stories.
We went through all the books.
Yeah.
We went through all the Hardy Boys books. Yeah. We went through all the Mother West Wind books.
Yeah.
The ad-libbing didn't go so well, though. The ad-lib stories.
My dad was one of those dads that loved telling campfire stories that were scary.
So that's what I was thinking.
Had to go to bed, it was like, can you come to bed with us? Because I'm kind of scared.
Remember that time you were like making up a story? We were sitting in Yellowstone and you're like, and then there was a bear and he's right behind you, Sean. Sean's face turns all white and he get up very slowly and go toward the tent. And Sean was like he'd been levitated. Up he goes and like swoop goes.
Nice.
Ruined him. Get the book.
Traumatized
Much better
him.
With books.
I remember when we were little tiny kids. I mean, I couldn't have been.
It was true.
You remember that?
Yeah, I remember.
I couldn't have been third or fourth grade. And we lived in Canoga Park. And my folks wanted to go to the neighbors next door. They're having a little party. And so they set us up. My dad set this whole thing up. So they had a big couch and a window behind the couch. Well, he made sure the windows were open. And he said, now, you guys stay on this couch. We're going to be right next door. And you watch the movie. And I forget what the movie was. But anyway, so they take off. And after about a half an hour, we're all intense in this movie. And he sneaks back and sneaks over, looks over into the window to see what we're doing, and lets out this big old scream. And I mean, we fell off the couch. We're all crying. He scared the pants off of us. That was great fun for him.
I could totally see your dad doing that.
You guys would be fine alone. Don't worry about it.
Yeah, that's not a big deal.
Yeah,
nothing to worry about.
Yeah. Nobody's going to come through the window after you.
Or anything. Yeah. It's kind of funny, though, like that. There was a lot of tormenting at our house. I was talking to somebody about homes. I guess it was Bridget. I was talking to Bridget, and she said that the reason that they got their house for a pretty cheap price was because they had two bedrooms upstairs and one downstairs. Mm-hmm. And so nobody wanted their kid to sleep downstairs. And I was like, I had to sleep downstairs. Sean and I used to sleep downstairs in Seattle.
Right.
And so we had like this pegboard between our two fake little bedrooms, you know, we had a little pegboard, but it was off the ground, a couple of feet. So if you got out of your bed really quiet, it was a linoleum type floor.
Yeah.
And so if you got out of your bed and you slithered real slow, real quiet, you could get under the pegboard, under his bed, and then just roll out, wait for it, and then jump up and pounce on him.
Oh, nice.
We used to scare the crap out of each other down there. I'm like, all kids should get to sleep in the basement. It was just good, clean fun. And so here in our last minute here of this particular hour, in honor of all the dads who are deployed perhaps and away from their kids who are serving in the military, I thought we would play a song for them.
Perfect, perfect.
So thanks a lot, dads everywhere, and thanks a lot, military dads. We'll be right back.
When the wolf growls at the door, hey, I'm solid, hey, I'm steady, hey, I'm true down to the core, and I will always do my duty. The price, I've counted up the cost, I know the sacrifice, oh, and I don't want to die for you, but if dying's asking me, I'll bear that cross with honor, cause freedom don't come free. I'm an American soldier, an American, beside my brothers and my sisters, I will proudly take the right.